Last week, I started a series titled Maximize Your Life. And it was based on, Matthew 25, in which there's a story told of a master who entrusted to his servants his property. The master left, and then he came back at a later time and asked the servants, "What did you do with what I gave you?" God asks us the same questions. He has deposited in each person here today, everybody listening online, something. Time, talents, treasure. He's gifted each of us in a certain way. And the question is, what are we doing with it? Now, we find in this story, the guy that got five talents went out and gained five more. And it's referring to like money. And the other one got two talents of money, and he went out and doubled it. The guy that got one talent went out and buried it. The master came back, and he said, "What have you done with what I gave you?" And he said, "I was afraid, and I buried it." God does not want any of us to bury our talents. You see, we get hurt in life. We sometimes get bruised and we're disappointed. And the tendency is to pull back and we bury the giftedness within us. So today is a call to maximize your life. Last week we talked about a three-minute party involving your time and talents. How many went out and had a three-minute party this week? Anybody? Got a few? We said a three-minute party is this. Your smile communicates hope to the other person. You can choose your words carefully in a three-minute conversation. Lastly, you give your undivided attention to somebody that you're talking to. And in 1, 2, or 3 minutes, you throw a party. You can be a blessing to them. That's your time and the gifting you have inside you. Just be that person. Today is part two. And the title of today's message is this. Increase your net worth. I want to talk to you today about how to increase your net worth. And I'm going to start with the story. His name is Moses Montefiore. He was a Jewish man to hold high office in the city of London. He was a businessman. He was a very effective and successful man. And he was knighted by Queen Victoria in 1837. And there was a report given later of a discussion between the Queen and Sir Moses after he was knighted. Queen Victoria asked him this: "What is the extent of your wealth? How much do you own?" I mean, this was a successful businessman that gave a lot of a philanthropy to the Jewish nation in the way of a factory and printing press and windmill. And she says, "What is your net worth? What do you own?" And Sir Moses said this. He said, "Give me a couple days to think about it." He left, came back a couple days later, and he reported to the queen a number of what he said his net worth was. The number was very low. The queen was surprised because she knew he was worth so much more. And so she asked him, "Why that number?" And here's what he said: "Your Majesty, my only true wealth is money that I have given to charity. Anything else I possess is merely temporary and may someday be lost or confiscated." Sir Moses Montefiore based his net worth on what he had given away, not what he had in the bank. And so we find in this story a great insight of perhaps how God views true net worth. Dr. Robert Roden, it's in your notes, gave two definitions of net worth. I want to break them down, each of them, and explain them. Here's the first one. He says, true net worth according to the world is measured by how much you own. How much you own. That's true. I mean, if anybody asked a question to any of us, we'd say, well, we want to add up our, we have a house or a car or savings or investments. And you say, well, this is my net worth. So I went to Google and I decided to check some people out. And the richest people in the world, they had a list of them. The richest individual in the world is Bernard Arnault, who is involved with the sales of luxury items around the world. And he's worth $190 billion. Number two spot, you'll recognize his name, Elon Musk, CEO of Tesla, $146 billion. Number three, Jeff Bezos, Amazon, $120 billion. Gautam Adani from India, $113. Number five, you'll recognize, Bill Gates, Microsoft, $111 billion. Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, $108 billion. And the list goes on. And so if we were to say, what is your net worth? We report it based on the number of what they own. This is what they're worth. There's a guy by the name of Chuck Feeney who was a part of the ground level launch of duty-free shopping around the world. And this guy amassed a fortune of $8 billion. He invested in tech companies and startups and did very well. $8 billion with a B. And he decided to give it all away. And so over a period of years, you know, it's hard to give away $8 billion. It takes some time. You got to work at it. And he gave away his entire fortune. So he's worth $8 billion, but he gave it away. I Googled yesterday, what is his net worth now? It says $1.5 million. He lives in San Francisco in a rented apartment. And he was known as the billionaire who wanted to die broke. He was once worth $8 billion because that's what he's owned. Now he's down to $1.5 million. May I suggest this guy, according to the world standard, had it all, but then he lost it. Well, let me share with you the second definition of Dr. Roden. The kingdom of God measures net worth by how much you give. The world measures it by how much we own. The kingdom of God measures net worth by how much we have given away. John Ortberg has written a book, When the Game is Over, It All Goes Back into the Box. And here's the basic thesis of it. We all have played board games at some time in our life, Monopoly and so forth. This is the game of life. And I pulled it out, read the instructions, and tried to get in touch with how it works. And everybody gets $10,000 when you start the game. And then you spin a dial, and you go around the board. And you have to deal with life. A tree falls on your house. You got to pay $15,000. You have a baby girl. You help the homeless. You do all kinds of things. And it talks about life. Somebody has a child, and you have to deal with life in this game. Now, here's what was interesting. On the very end, it says how to win. Let me read it to you. All the players after you've retired, all players at millionaire estates count their money. The richest players take the four life tiles at millionaire estates. They flip it over and see what the value is. You add that to what they already have in their dollars, and here's what it concludes with. All players then count up their money, add the two figures together, final statement. The player with the highest total value wins. The world tells us that the person with the total highest value seems to win in life. I want to break something to you from a kingdom perspective that is false. From the kingdom of God perspective, the highest net worth is what you've given away during your life. You know why? At the end of the game, life, Monopoly, Clue, whatever it is, it all goes back to the box. There's only one thing in life that when your life is over, when my life is over, that will not go back into the box. There's only one thing. You know what it is? What we've given away. Think about it. When we die, you don't see U-Hauls behind hearses. I mean, Job had it right when he said, Job tore up his robe. He lost so much. He shaved his head. He fell to the ground, and he worshiped. Here's what he said. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. I mean, he nailed it. We do not take anything with us when we die. You know what happens to it? It all goes back into the box. It gets left here. We leave it to somebody else, except one thing. One thing is excluded. It's what you give away during your life. Your time, your gift abilities to help other people, and your resources. Whatever you and I give away, from the kingdom of God perspective, that's our true net worth. There are people in this church that are amazingly generous. And they've given of themselves over years. We're talking decades. And when they get to the end of their life and life is over, can I tell you, they have a high net worth according to the kingdom of God. Chuck Feeney had $8 billion. He gave it away. He has high net worth according to eternal. He's helped a lot of people. But life from the worldly perspective tells us, wow, how much do I have when I get to the end? It's deceptive. It's tricky. Because God flips it and says, it's not what you have at the end. It's what you've given away to be a blessing to help other people. So here's what I want to do today. I want to talk to you about how to increase your kingdom net worth. Your kingdom net worth. Three simple thoughts. And last week I talked about time and our abilities and interacting with people. Today we're going to talk about the financial, the treasure part of life, the money God gives us, and how we can use it to increase our net worth from God's eyes for the sake of eternity in helping other people. So let's get started. Number one, the first thing we do is this. We honor God with our wealth. If you and I want to increase our net worth according to the eternal standards, we just honor God with our wealth. Read with me Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 in your notes. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Circle the word first fruits. In the Old Testament, they grew crops, and the farmers were asked to bring the first part of their crops into the as a way to honor God. And so They honored the Lord with their wealth through the crops. Here's a verse, a couple from Malachi, or one, let's read it together. Bring the whole tithe, 10%, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. And I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit says the Lord Almighty. In the Old Testament, there was the principle of the tithe with its 10%, and it was brought to the storehouse, which would be the church. And in the New Testament, Jesus referred to it a couple of times, and people say, well, that's Old Testament. It doesn't apply in the New. And Paul says, give as you purpose in your heart. I believe it's a good principle, just like other principles from the Old Testament, that can be applied to our lives. And here's why. When you and I honor God with our wealth, when we systematically honor him and reverence him, it does something for us. And in Malachi, here's what it does. It positions us for his greater blessing. He says, if you honor me, that is the condition with your wealth. If you do that, here's what I'll do for you. I will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing you won't have room enough. Not only that, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. One thing I've come to realize over the years is God can prevent things. Cars can still break down. People get sick. Stuff happens in life. Water heaters go out. I mean, that's how it is. On the other hand, the Bible says that God can prevent things from happening that I may not even know anything about. And so the promise is this, that if we meet the condition of honoring God with our wealth and we bring it into the storehouse, here's what it'll do for us. It will put us in a position or a place for him to pour out into our life his abundant blessing. Now, for people that are tithers, I'll just say this. You understand the joy of being obedient to this. It's just a joy-filling experience to honor God because there's so many things that our money could go toward. But when we honor him first, it puts us in a place that he will bless us in a way that only he can do. Here's a verse from Deuteronomy. I'll have Johnny could put it up. There we go. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. It's kind of like God says, your heart needs to be lined up with mine, and somehow, some way, doing this as a way to honor him is just, it puts him first place in our life. And there's also another quote I'll have. Johnny could put that up. It says in Leviticus 27, the tithe is holy and belongs to God himself. It doesn't belong to us. The first 10% really belongs to him. But here's what it does. It puts us in a place for God to bless us in a way that we can be blessed in no other way. And 90% with God's blessing goes further than 100% on my own. I'm totally convinced that if I honor God with my tithe, 90% can go further with his blessing on it than 100% without him. And so, number one, the way to increase our kingdom net worth is to be obedient in this thing of just honoring God with our wealth and bringing it into the storehouse or the church. Number two, the second truth about increasing our kingdom net worth is this. Build financial margin into your life so that you can give offerings to advance the kingdom. An offering is this. It is over and above. And I'll have Jonica advance that if you would, please. Offerings are over and above. One more slide. Okay, well, sorry, that's the wrong one. Anyway, offerings are over and above the tithe. I want to give an example. When many people here sponsor children in different parts of the world through different organizations. I've got some, and so many people do that. And so it's an opportunity to be a blessing, but it's over and above the tithe, which first goes into the church. And many people here will give to different organizations or ministries to be a blessing in different ways, and it's over and above. But here's what it takes, financial margin. Now, I've made many mistakes with my money. I could give you a whole list of them. I mean, I've done it, probably done it all. That was dumb. I mean, bad decisions. And you and I have to learn how to be wise as far as being a steward with the final 90%. I mean, you can tithe, but we can't be reckless with the other 90. We have to meet needs of our families and pay bills and so forth. But here's the secret. If you and I become stewards and wise in how we handle money, over time we can build margin into our financial condition. And you know what you do out of that? You find ways to be a blessing even above the tithe. And the joy is multiplied. The joy is magnified when a person gives freely above their tithe. You can go to the next slide, Jonico. One more. It's the one with the dollars. There we go. I thought this was kind of good. If you and I don't have the wisdom of God about our money, that's kind of what happens to it. It gets burned up. We lose it. It goes someplace. We don't know why or where. It just goes. But when you and I live with the wisdom of God's principles upon our finances, can I tell you, we will build financial margin over time to be a blessing in a greater way. In Luke chapter 12, read with me verse 14 in your notes. Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." You see, my heart has a tendency to be greedy. You know what that means? I kind of want to keep it, and now I have things I want to do with my money. It's called the human condition. Everybody's got the tendency to be greedy. We'll call it the greed grip. And the greed grip in this story is that a guy said, "I'm going to tear down my current barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns, and build bigger barns, and build bigger barns." And Jesus calls him a fool. And he basically says, this is how it is with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Now, the greed grip, we all experience that. It's hard to release money. It's hard because it's such a powerful force in our life. I've got two questions in your notes that are like diagnostic questions about the greed grip. And you can assess whether that's where that's at in your own life. Letter A, do I honor God with my tithe? That's kind of like the first step. Or maybe you're trying to build up to the tithe and you're at least doing something. You just move in that direction. Letter B, does my pursuit of money squeeze out kingdom involvement? We can get so busy going after money, it squeezes out the opportunities of ministering along the way. Last Sunday, Pam and Harold were here, and after service, we were talking about $1 million and different situations, and they basically said, you know, you can have $1 million and still be miserable. You're not happy. And we talked about this whole thing called a handcuff. We can get handcuffed by the pursuit of money. I mean, I've experienced it. Maybe you have. That it became so important that I felt I just needed a little bit more, and the handcuff factor just had me. There's only one thing that will turn the key to the handcuffs in your life and mine when it comes to money. You know what it is? Being obedient to God, and if I'm willing to tithe, it unlocks the handcuff, and I get freed up. And not only that, if I'm at a place in life where I can build margin into my financial health, and I say, God, I want to help the ministry towards battered women. I want to help a child somewhere else in the world. I want to help someone locally. If we build up that financial margin, listen, we then can become a greater blessing to others. But I have to always deal with the greed grip, because there's things I would like to do with my money. But when I look at the big picture, if we're willing to honor God with the first fruits and then even do offerings, it will position us to experience a higher level of joy in our life. And you know what's important? When I get to the end of my life, everything's going to go in back in the box, except for one thing, that which I've given away during my life's journey. That's the only thing. Point number three. The third thing that I want us to think about in increasing our kingdom net worth is this. Use your will to direct your assets. Use your will to direct your assets. And what I'm referring to is your final will and testament. And you go to the next one, Jonica. It's your last will. Now, there's a verse in your notes that I want us to read together. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. If you don't have a will, you need to get one. And maybe we can work out having somebody from our foundation come. We've done this in the past. I could help you set it up. Because here's the deal. When you get to the end of your life, you want to direct whatever thing God has given to you in your will. And the scripture says to leave something for children and grandchildren is awesome. Do it. It's a blessing. You're transferring goodness onto them. It's a great tool. It's just whatever God has given to me, I want to bless my family with it or someone else. That's good. But let me throw one other thought in here. You can use your will, your last will and testament, to maybe take a portion of it and you give it to a particular ministry or a particular group that is helping people. You can still leave something to your kids and grandkids. That's awesome. But it's an opportunity to make a difference in the kingdom, because you know what? At the end of the game, everything goes back into the box except one thing. What you've given away. What you've given away. And even in your will, you can identify ways to be a blessing to other people. So three simple thoughts about how to increase kingdom net worth. Honor God with your wealth. I mean, that's just honoring him. Number two, you build financial margin in your life so you can give offerings to advance the kingdom. And Jack mentioned financial peace, and I was interested to see if anybody was interested in that, that we could maybe, we could set up that course and make it happen just to become better money managers. So if you're interested, sign up. And finally, number three, use your will, your final testament, to direct your assets the way you want to. It's your choice, because at the end of the game, at the very end of the game, listen, everything you've worked for will go into the box. Jeff Bezos, we got, these people that are billionaires all over the world, everything they've worked for is going to go back into the box, except one thing, what they give away, either during their lifetime or in their final will. So as we conclude this two-part series, maximize your life by doing two things. Throw three-minute parties. Be intentional this week to go out and be a blessing to somebody in one, two, or 3 minutes. And secondly, think about how to increase your kingdom net worth by giving it away and honoring God and helping other people. Because in the end, from God's perspective, that is what he values most. So in your, hopefully everybody got one, there's a little half-page flyer. Looks like this. This is for you to keep. All right, put in your Bible. And it's an agreement between you and God. And the first section just talks about, have you made a decision to just allow Christ to live in you? Is your life surrendered to Him? And if that's you or you want to recommit yourself, you mark that. Or maybe you're following Him the best you can. Just between you and God, say, this is where I'm at. The second category, make a decision to follow the commitment of intentionally throwing three-minute parties. Do it every day. Smile. Choose your words carefully. Give your undivided attention. Check that. And then lastly, I decide to make the following commitment today. Maybe it's tithing or moving toward it, honoring God. Or secondly, how can I gain financial margin to be a blessing by giving offerings? Or thirdly, maybe I need to think about my will. I want to leave a blessing to family, but maybe God wants me to somehow bless another organization or a group of people. You know why? That's not going to go in the box. That's going on ahead. And it increases kingdom value. So I want you to just reflect on that. Check what speaks to your heart. Put your name on it, date it, and put it in your Bible. And I want you to use it as a reference point, saying, God, I want my life to count. I want to maximize my entire life. I want to be like the servant that had 5 talents, and he went out and he got 5 more. I just want you to use me in that way, and whether it's my time, my abilities, or my treasures, here I am. Use me. Let's pray together. Father, as we bow before you, the most important thing is our surrendered hearts. And in the quietness of this moment, may each of us just check our hearts and to see if we're in a place of full surrender to you. And I pray for that person, people listening today online, that you will move us into the place of just total surrender and commitment to you. That Jesus is our Savior and our Lord. And Father, I pray for everyone here today and those listening online that we'll make a difference in the daily encounters with other people, starting with our family, by throwing 1 or 2 or 3 minute parties. Father, take us, this group of people here this morning, and may we bless Walton today and tomorrow and this week. Just take us and somehow just touch lives through us in that way. And finally, Father, our riches, our treasures, our money, I pray that you'll help us to be a Chuck Feeney, being willing to part with